This is episode number 51 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of November 10th, 2008. It's time for me to walk. Coming up on this trendy episode, we've got our current distractions. In gaming news, Jeff uses his transition superpowers for good. Our feature this week, user-generated content, fact or fiction, or fat or few, I forget. Anyway, we'll follow that up with new releases, listener email, and the power to the people, question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions episode number 51.
Thank you, Chris.
And it is good to be here the week before our
birthday episode
anniversary.
Woo! Party. Is it our anniversary or is it a birthday? I thought it was a birthday. We need to clarify.
That could be either one.
All right.
My name is Chris Riccio and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello, people.
And Jeff Torney.
Word up.
And, we're also going to find out, hopefully we're going to find out later today, whether or not we've won the podcast award.
That'd be cool. If we didn't win, I'm still buying those Grammar Girl books.
That's right. Damn right.
I need them.
I didn't even know they were there. Totally an advertising prank. All right, cool. Jason, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Man, I actually got to play some games this week, which we'll talk about in a minute.
But, awesome.
Wow, you haven't done that in a while.
I know. It's freeing and it's rewarding, and I just feel like a whole different person. Life is good again.
Good to hear, man. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Cool. Jeff, how are you, man?
I had a bit of a rough weekend. Not feeling too good today.
Also, sounds like you had a bit of a rough weekend.
Yeah. And I think I'm getting sick, too. I'm kind of nasally and hard to breathe and stuff, so bear with me.
Did you say hard to breathe?
Breathe. To my nose. It's all breathe gross and stuffed up. Yeah. So I'm gonna tough it out and get through this.
Cool, yeah. Stick with us.
I'll do my best.
Stay with us, man. Chris, cool. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You know, things are okay. You know, mom is getting better, so that's my primary thing right now. I just need to make sure that she's okay. And, getting some things taken care of for the wedding as well. And, you know, we got a generous gift from Crystal's parents this week, and that was very nice. So, things are well. Things are doing well.
It's very cool to hear.
Yep. Well, let's go over a few things real quick before we jump in. We need to remind people about our Find a Fourth contest. What the hell is today? Today's the 9th, right?
Sure.
We are ending in a week from today. Today is Sunday. Sorry. So Sunday the 16th is the last day for your entries. So please get your entries in. The way it works, if you guys don't know, is that send us a voicemail with your idea of a feature. And whoever has the best entry and is most enthusiastic about their topic, we're going to bring them on the show to talk about their topic. So that's the deal with that. Get your any more information you need to know will be on VG Evo. Get your entries in. You can send the voicemail as an attachment to email at interactivedistractions.com, or you can send us a voicemail, and we'll give you all that information later. Mm-hmm. Also, our MMO project, which is going to be taking place in January.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, man. We've gotten a lot of good suggestions.
Yes.
And I'm actually seeing Jason, the one that you put up there, the strategy RPG MMO.
Yes, please.
I'm seeing a lot of that around lately. You know, a lot of ads for it and stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have suggestions for free MMOs and you want to throw them in the pot, see if we'll play them in January, then you can go to VG Evo and do that as well. Guys, I figured we would probably stop taking entries or, you know, start of December and then get people to vote on them. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Cool. And then like first couple weeks of January, we'll get to that.
All right.
And here is the most important news for right here, right now. Next week, as we said, is 1 year for Indus.
One full year.
And what better way to commemorate such a wonderful occasion than to have a live show?
I think so.
I think that would be just fantastic. So, next week, Friday the 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time,
we are going
to stream our 52nd episode online at ustream.tv. So, you know, make sure to drop by our Ustream page at 9 o'clock, and we'll be streaming the entire show and be pulling people on Skype with us to talk. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be involved, let us know. If you want to, if you want a chance to be on the show, send us your Skype name, and you can do that on via PM on VGEvo.com, or you can also send us an email.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We'll be taking questions and stuff throughout the whole show too. So if you don't even want to be on here just to talk, just ask a question in the chat box or whatnot, and we'll try to answer all of them.
Yep. And we're going to try and keep the same format to a certain degree, but you know what? Mm-hmm. We're completely out of our elements. The live video show. So.
Yeah, there's probably going to be gonna get more alcohol involved than normal, too.
Yeah,
so.
More alcohol and involved. We're going to be kind of distracted with all the people that are talking in the chat box.
It's going to be chaos.
Yeah, it'll be chaos, but it'll be fun chaos, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely check that out. We're really excited about this. It's going to be fun. So.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's get it going on. Jason.
Yeah.
You're playing games this week, I heard.
Yeah, I picked up your controllers.
For real. The rumors precede me, and yeah, it's all true. I have actually gamed this week, believe it or not. But you know what? It's not the games that I thought I was going to play. Like, I thought I was going to play Warhammer.
Uh-oh.
Nothing yet.
You didn't play Warhammer?
I played no Warhammer yet. Yeah, I opened it, and yeah, it looks nice.
Is it installed?
It is. It is installed, and it's waiting for me. But I got a little distracted by some other stuff. First and foremost... we got distracted by some Rock Band 2, which we played over at John's house the other night. And we streamed that as well, even though the stream was kind of choppy. It was moving like a slideshow or whatever. Still, total blast. And it was cool
that
everybody
time.
Stopped by to hang out and stuff. So,
yeah, we actually had like 20 people in the feed. I was impressed.
Watching the damn slideshow. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, especially for a last-minute thing that we decided at like 3 o'clock that afternoon to do, and all of a sudden we had like 20-something people watching us. It was fun.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah. Oh, and Ken put us up on the front page. I didn't even know that till like the next day when I read the thread.
Yeah, same here. I didn't know that till today, till this morning.
Cool. Thank you. Let's see. We also played some Naruto afterwards, which was cool. The game's still
like
gorgeous. Yeah, I still like it a lot.
Yeah, even though John
I'm really
was
disappointed
kicking his
about,
ass.
Yeah, well, John had a little more time with it.
That's true. That's true.
Cheap throws and shit. Like, I know what I'm doing. Come on. I'm really disappointed.
You were turtling quite a bit, though.
Well, I was trying to get my shit down, you know? I'm like, okay. Because I was waiting for him to, you know, finish up his combo so I can counterattack. Because I was blocking all good and stuff. But then he's like, okay, I'm just going to throw you. And then, yeah. It was sad. Anyway, yeah, it was not pretty. Luckily, people couldn't really tell what was going on, but they did see the loser screen at the end, and my face was on it.
That's the important part.
That's right.
Did you immediately throw in Soul Calibur afterwards, or what?
No, we kind of pooped out afterwards. We still would have been going strong with Rock Band, but about 10 o'clock when the noise ordinance went into effect, we started feeling people like down below thumping the floor.
Douchebag.
Oh,
shut
really?
Up! Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, and it John just moved into the place not too long ago, so, you know, we don't want to piss people off or start any fights or anything. But I think next time we'll be over at Chris's house or my house or whatever.
But,
oh, back
my
to
house,
Naruto.
My house is easily the most isolated because I don't have people that are attached to me because I have my own. I have a house, and like Jason and Lisa are in like a townhome. So they have to worry about people below them. But the problem is that the biggest issue with the feed was that John's upload stream is not that good.
Holy and, poopy.
Yeah, mine is only a little bit better, and Jason's connection is significantly better than both of ours.
So I win.
We'll have to see how it works over here.
No online play for Naruto. That broke my heart. Hopefully they'll add it with a patch. So as such, I'm going to hold off on buying it until then, I think. Because right now it's like,
I don't think they'd patch it.
Nah.
You don't think so?
No, then I can put the effort in.
I'm positive thinking. You're killing the energy flow. Now they're not going to do it, and I'm going to blame you, sick hungover bastard.
I know.
Stop pushing off your negativity on us.
Yeah. Jeez. Let's see. Screw you guys. Let's roll on. Oh, you know what else came out, like demo-wise? Like only for people who pre-ordered like I did last week?
Left 4 Dead?
You're supposed to say no, Jason. What?
No, I have no idea what came out.
Left 4 motherfucking Dead.
Awesome. How was it?
Awesome. It is really, really, really good. And this is one of the few games that, I mean, I've been so excited for, so hyped up for, and that really lived up to it. Nice. Like, I know it's based on the Source engine and everything, but the models and the texturing, the lighting, the fucking sound is phenomenal. It looks so gorgeous, and it's intense, and it's just a lot of fun.
Is that online, the demo?
Yeah, it is online. So you can play four-player co-op. When the full game rolls out, you'll be able to play both sides, survivors and zombies. But they don't have the zombies enabled just yet in the demo, so I'm kind of waiting, holding off on the review until that hits. But I didn't get to play much online. I tried connecting to a couple lobbies, and that was fine, but getting into a game, there were disconnects and stuff. So, but that was just the first day that I tried it, so I'll give it another shot later.
Cool.
But other than that, I mean, damn, it gave Lisa nightmares. I'll tell you that much.
Really?
She was scared. And then I finally played it that night, later that night, with headphones on. That was a mistake.
Oh, God. Scared the shit.
When I was playing it with just the PC speakers, you know, they're not like surround sound. So I'm like, oh, fuck, where's that hunter? You know, because you'll hear the hunter noises. You know, they're the little crawly things and they leap at you and then, you know, they kill you. But you don't know exactly where they're coming from. So I'm like, oh, shit, I got to have headphones for this. And that just freaked me right the fuck out.
Nice.
Oh, my God. The ambient noise in there is just, oh.
So you were playing on PC?
On that time, I was, yeah. But I tried it out on normal, which is really intense. One of the really cool things about the game is that it's random spawns. You know, you don't have, you know, regular spawn points or anything. So these zombies can fly at you in hordes at any time from anywhere. And you never, I mean, you could be, you know, backed into like a corner or something like that. And, you know where all, you know, the trouble spots are. You turn one way and then you turn around again and all of a sudden there's zombies coming at you. You never know. One of the freakiest fucking things that happened to me, though, is when you get vomited on by one of the zombies. And that acts as like an attraction. Like, that alerts every zombie in the area to where you are. So they just come rushing at you. And bear in mind, you've got puke all over you, so you can't see anything. You can just kind of barely make out where all the shapes are and stuff. And
that's gross.
Oh, they're fast zombies, too.
Yeah, except for the videos I saw.
Yeah, 28 Days Later type zombies, right?
Yep. And like some of the new of the dead movies. But yeah, so far, phenomenal. I really love it. Really suggest it. I can't wait till, you know, the full game's released.
You're going to get it on PC, though, right?
Yeah, I pre-ordered on Steam.
Okay. And that's actually what I asked you before, not were you playing on easy. I said, are you playing on PC?
On PC.
That's okay, though, because you just admitted that you were playing on easy at the same time.
Well, no, just later on, just because it was late and I was tired and I just wanted to burn through.
Whatever, Jason.
But,
we all know.
My first time through.
Play everything on super the fucking easiest. It's now called Jason mode.
I'm going to play some of the fucking Jason.
Something that Jason and Glenn have in common, obviously.
Well, sometimes you just want to burn through the game. Come on.
Hey, how much is it? How much is the game on PC?
Right now, pre-order, $45. So you save $5 or 10% or whatever if you pre-order it.
Okay. So I might take a look.
That's the same with the console versions too, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. The console version, can you download the demo early?
If you, well, I'm not sure if it's only $50, but I saw a commercial or something on it on Xbox Live. If you pre-order Left 4 Dead, you get $5 off or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that with Orange Box too. I don't know how they handled that though, because I got it on Steam ahead of time. I love that Steam. What else have I been playing? Yeah, this is the one that really kind of kept me from Warhammer, and that's Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is another one of those games. Huge hype, and it really kind of came through. And it's very easy to toss out the whole, yes, it's Oblivion plus Mad Max, and that's entirely accurate. It really is. But I do enjoy the whole Mad Max post-apocalyptic setting a whole lot better than Oblivion. And gameplay's great, looks great. You know, the voice acting is kind of hit or miss sometimes, but it has yet to really take me out of the whole experience. I'm really enjoying the combat in particular, the VAT system, which is kind of like where you pause the game for a second and it's like, your Pip-Boy interface kind of comes up, and you can target specific body parts. And then you can actually plot out, depending on how many action points you have, each shot takes a specific amount of action points. So you have those points to spend for that particular moment. and then it just plays out for you in like, you know, slow-mo and very, very satisfying. All I got to say is like,
very awesome.
What's that?
Gore turned up?
I did, actually, yeah. I had it, and it's gory to begin with, and then later on you can get a perk that's I think it's called Bloody Mess.
Yeah.
And like everything just explodes. Like
it's ridiculous. You shoot someone in the foot and their whole body explodes. It's rad.
That's one of the things that really got me about when I was like watching videos of this game.
Yeah.
The thing, because I'm avoiding it right now because it does look so much like Oblivion, but I was super interested because of the fact that there was a gun that you can load pretty much anything you want into and fire off.
Nails,
and
teddy
I saw
bears.
Them on with that perk turned on. Dude shot a teddy bear, hit a dude in a chest, and he exploded.
Yeah.
With a teddy bear. It was awesome.
And that's kind of the thing, too, with the combat is, you know, I suck at first-person shooters. I just can't wrap my head around it. I'm just not very good at it. But I still feel like a badass playing this game because I can pull off, you know, crazy, you know, uber elite skills, it looks like, anyway. You know, because I pause the game, point for their head. If my percentage is high enough, you know, it plays out in that slow-mo, and it's just so friggin' cool looking. Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome. Again, like I'm playing the game too now. It's a game I wasn't even gonna get originally, because I wasn't a huge fan of Oblivion. But it's not like Oblivion really at all to me anyway. It's way better, and they fix the character models. They actually look like real people now, and not like trolls. Like even the humans look like trolls in Oblivion. But yeah, the VAT system is awesome. Just even if you just aim for some of their legs and stuff, and just take out their legs. I just found out a couple days ago you can target more than one body part. per turn, and multiple enemies. I didn't know that.
Yep, that too. So you can do a whole, like, in a chain of events, kill one guy, and then go on to the next
one.
God,
you guys are making me want to play this game, man.
No,
dude,
it's
cool.
Yeah, probably not even lying right now. It might be my game of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't blame
it's that good.
And you know what, Chris? It's actually, it's got a lot of what Mass Effect was missing for me. And that's like a real immersive, like, side story.
You just
stuff.
Had to say that shit, didn't you?
It dawned on me. I'm like, shit, I wish they had something like this. And because I remember with Mass Effect, you know, all of our side missions, you'd go out and explore these moons and planets and whatnot. And
that all looked
the
same.
They're pretty fucking boring. But these are, they're paced well. They're spread out. I mean, there's an actual plot to all of the side stories, side missions. So,
that's
definitely
something
Mass Effect was.
It's so immersive. I just spent so long I never really was one for. I'm not one to just kind of wander around in games. And in Oblivion, I didn't do a lot of exploring. I basically stuck to the missions and I didn't go look for stuff. But in Fallout, because ammo and health and money is pretty scarce, like there's not too much of it, and it's pretty expensive to buy ammo. So I saw something, I was like, oh, I can go in here. I would look in there, look for ammo. Just walk around, just looking at everything. I was like, wow, this looks awesome. You see, like, the Washington Monument in the distance, and, you know, just walking towards it. It's awesome. It's just so immersive. And then you'll see, like, just raiders will come out of nowhere and, you know, blow their heads off, and it's awesome. You'll see these two-headed cows being walked by these, like, wanderers that sell things to you. And
oh, yeah, like just, the traveling merchants and stuff.
Yeah, the traveling merchants and stuff. And there's seagulls and stuff flying in the sky, and dust flowing. It's really awesome. They did a really good job of,
for as dead as the place is, it's pretty much living and breathing. I mean, there's a lot of the same textures on the ground. I mean, the place is just rubble, you know. There's not a lot of no greenery or anything. There's rivers and blown up bridges and stuff, but then you do run across, you know, as Jeff mentioned, like, you know, the Washington Monument and stuff like that, and huge statues, and you'll see the stuff off of the distance, you know, like, oh shit, that looks cool, I'm gonna go over there, go check it out. It's neat.
It's really good. I was blown. I'm really impressed by it. It was a game I wasn't even going to get till next year, and friends convinced me to buy it. And Jason, kind of, just one night I saw him playing it, and I'm like, so, how is it? He just writes back to me on Xbox Live. He's like, totally fucking awesome. And I was like, oh, you asshole. Now you have to go buy it.
Yeah, I saw him playing it the next night.
You are weak.
I know, but it's
awesome.
All right,
it's getting close to me, to time for me to sign up for game, what's it called?
Gamefly,
yeah.
I get like $20.
What's that?
Use my referral. I get like $20. Do it.
What do you think of the beginning of Fallout? How it starts out? Like how it starts as you're kind of like a kid?
Oh,
actually, you're born. That's the first part.
Yeah, you're born. It integrates it really well. You know, it's not a cookie cutter, you know, choose your character. I mean, they have those elements where you have to do the create a character thing, you choose your different face and stuff. But the way that they integrate it is really cool. You know, you're born right away, right? Like your first visual moments are like of your father as you come out of the womb. No, they don't show the womb or the vagina or anything like that. Sick fuckers.
Oh, that's it. I'm not lying.
It's not that
but
immersive.
He's like, oh, you're a good looking kid. Let's use this, you know, completely fictionalized invention to see what you're going to look like when you grow up. And they like scan you real quick. And that's the, you know, the created character shit like that.
Oh, neat. And when the doctor's oh, look, it's A. And then you get to choose whether you're a boy or a girl.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fine name.
Yeah, exactly.
And then right after that, you know, because it fast forwards, you know, three times. So it's like 1 year later. You know, you're kind of a toddler then. So your dad leaves you alone in a room and you're a baby, right? So the camera's lowered and everything. You've got toys all strewn about. And this is kind of where you learn some of the basic movement and controls. And you choose your starting stats from actually a children's book. And they've got, you know, their system is, it's called Special. It's an anagram for, like, you know, strength, perception, endurance, whatever. Yeah. And you actually, you read the storybook page by page and it'll describe what each stat is, and then you get to put your points in at the end. So,
And it's a lot. The leveling up isn't as even close to as a I won't say advanced, but complicated or in depth in terms of how the user uses it in Oblivion.
Because
I hated the way. Yeah, it's less. It's
You had to like your specific skills. You had to level up each of those first.
Yeah,
right?
You didn't have to. You don't have to do that in this. Basically, this is purely done by experience, and then you don't get experience. Sorry, for just like running or jumping, you get them from killing things, or it's like more like Warcraft where you'll get experience for completing quests and stuff like that. Then when you reach the new level, you have points you assign to each category.
I like that better. I like that a lot better. That actually makes this game much more tempting for me.
Yes, that's one thing that, like, I couldn't stand with Oblivion because I hate keeping an eye on stuff like that all the time. And you also get a perk every single level too, like the Bloody Mess perk and certain like that. So you get to add one of those every level. So it's pretty cool. So basically every level you get to get something cool new you can do. And it's capped at level 20 as far as I know. And then of course with the DLC, that of course hasn't been like, we don't know what that is yet. Apparently it might go to like level 30 or something like that.
Probably.
So, and also another thing that's much better than Oblivion, the enemies leveled up with you. And I think they still kind of do in this, but they'll still have some lower level creatures and like enemies around. So you will get that I'm a badass feeling quite often. Like the first time I picked off someone right in the face, like blew their head off with a sniper rifle from pretty far, I was like, that is awesome. I was like, that's just so badass.
Very, very satisfying. And it keeps the whole humor and, you know, thematic elements of previous Fallout games. Mm-hmm. So it brought me right back, you know. So
you both are playing it on 360, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I almost got it on PC, almost, but like I need to show my 360 some love since I got it fixed. So this is my big game for it.
Big game. And another thing is just one, the quick thing. Just in Oblivion, I never once felt attached to any of the NPCs at all. I just basically looked at them as being quest starting points and endpoints. Whereas it's not a spoiler, I'm sure if anyone's been reading up on Fallout 3, they already know that close to the beginning of the game, you have an option to blow up an entire city with a nuke or save it. And I went into this first thing, and you know what, I'm going to be evil, just kind of like, just like in Fable, and I was going to blow up the city, but after doing some of the quests and talking to some of the characters, I'm like, these characters are actually pretty cool, and kind of get a little bit attached to them. Like, you know what, I don't want to blow up the city because I'll feel bad. So I decided I'm going to try to play through mainly good or, if anything, neutral. But yeah, actually, you know, some of the characters I was like, got pissed off at or really enjoyed. I'm like, hey.
So. And they make the whole thing enticing to you too, as far as like blowing up the city. You know, they offer you a bunch of money. This guy, this shady dude, you know, wants you to blow up the city for whatever reason. Doesn't matter. But yeah, if you don't choose to, you ultimately get rewarded in the end. Your good deeds are repaid.
Yeah.
As it were. I'll say that. Don't blow up Megaton. Don't do it.
All right. So, Jeff, it sounds like you're liking this better than Fable, because I'm hearing a lot of people try and compare the two.
I don't know what. See, I don't know why people really compare the two, but I'm definitely having more fun with Fallout 3 than I had with Fable, and that's one of the main reasons I bought Fallout, is because I wasn't enjoying Fable 2 as much as I thought I would, and I was just like, you know what, it's good. Fable's still good for what it does and what it's trying to be, but I don't think it's, I don't know, it's something about it's missing, and I can't put my finger on it. I was hooked to it for about 2 days, and then I kind of just played it sporadically after that. And when I was playing it, I didn't have the urge to keep going forward for like hours. And then, I don't know, when for Fallout 3, just every day I've played it, and once I start playing it, I'm like playing it for a few hours. There's no stopping me.
Hey, Jeff, question. Do you play mostly first person or third person?
I play it all first person. I can't stand playing it in third person.
The third person, yeah, was really disappointing. I will say that.
Yeah.
So you can tell that it was definitely tooled for first person perspective the entire time.
100%. Yeah.
You can. You have the option of pulling the camera back, but you know what? The dude is animated terribly.
Yeah, it's just like Oblivion. It's really bad.
It's like Earth
Defense
Force, practically.
Yeah, Oblivion I ended up playing in first person, too, when I played it, even though it's not really my preference.
But it makes a couple things, you know, easier to see because it pulls the camera back and you get a better perspective. But it's rare that I pull it out.
Oh, and the loading times in Fallout 3 are nothing compared to Oblivion. Oblivion had loading all the time. Even when you're just walking around the land, it would freeze like for like up to like 30 seconds sometimes just to load up something. And in Fallout 3, it'll happen every once in a while where it'll stop for maybe a second, maybe two. But it's only happened to me a couple times, but then that's it. And then it pretty much just loads when you go in and out of buildings.
Yeah.
And so it's, not even close to an issue like Oblivion was.
Cool.
I've just scratched the surface, and it's amazing how much there is left to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got that completionist thing going on where I've got to do everything before I move on, and I'm just telling myself,
Good luck.
Yeah.
I haven't really, like I said, I put in about maybe, I think roughly, I'm thinking around 14 hours, maybe it's not too much, and I haven't even gone, I've done pretty much all quests based on a Megaton and a couple of the main story quests, and I've hardly seen anything, really.
Yeah.
I just look at the size of the map, I'm like, holy shit.
Yep. Oh, shit. All right, that's it for me, man.
Cool.
Let's move on.
Jeff, go for it.
Well, I've done Fallout 3. What else have I been playing? Play some Little Big Planet. Still like the game. I'm not too drawn to it though. I seem to only play it when people are playing it online or if someone's over. Like Tanya loves it. She's actually playing it right now. So we'll play some
Lisa
like co-op
right now.
And stuff like that. Yeah, but it's not something like it's just me and platformers in general. It's not something I play often. I like them, but they don't really keep my attention for too long like at a time. It's more like play it for half an hour, go on to something else. But yeah, still haven't tried to make anything yet. Way too complicated for me. Some of the levels are still pretty awesome, though, online.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big draw to that isn't the platforming action. It is so much like the character creation stuff, the online.
Yeah.
Hooking up with your friends. And
exactly. Yeah. And that it does really well. And they seem to have a lot of the problems fixed that were happening
really?
The first week.
Oh, good. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I haven't noticed. I've been able to play. Every time we had the game sitting on the... We bought it, you know, right away, but then it's been sitting on our coffee table since then. Not even opened, and every time I walk by, I swear to God, Sackboy's giving me like pouty face. I'm like, soon, buddy, soon. Fallout 3 is going on right now. Settle down.
Give it time.
Yeah.
I did pick up Resistance 2, but I haven't even opened it yet. Actually, Tanya bought it for me for our anniversary. She got me the limited edition, so told myself, I'm not going to play it though.
The limited edition with the big ass figure.
It's not really big ass, but it's pretty cool, actually. It's a lot better than that Altair one that came out for the Assassin's Creed Limited Edition. It was a piece of crap.
So it's not like this 2-inch minifigure.
No, it's probably about 6 inches.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it's like it's normal size.
That's about average.
Figure, I guess.
I don't know how it is up in Canada, but I hear 6 inches is about average.
Well, it's actually around 8.5, but hey.
Oh, gotcha. Well, is that metric, or I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know either. Whatever. But the action figure is a decent size, so it's worth it if you like that kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
But I haven't played the game yet. I'll probably have to get back to you guys. Maybe next week I'll have opened it. But I promised myself I wouldn't play it till I finished with Gears of War 2, which of course I picked up. on early Friday morning. Neither of you guys got it, did you?
No,
I didn't.
No. It's good things.
Not that I'm poo-pooing the game, but I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's Gears. It plays just like the first one, with it's a little bit tighter. The graphics, at first, in the first act, I was kind of like, okay, they're good, just like Gears of 1 with touch-ups here and there, but it wasn't until Act 2 where it really picks up, and I was like, holy shit, they raised the bar again for graphics. Like, it's gorgeous. Some of the things that happen and that you see in this game are just going to blow people away. Just like, holy crap. haven't tried the online stuff yet because I want to get through the campaign, and I'm just over halfway, I think, through the campaign. But really good. If you like the first Gears, you'll love it. It's better in pretty much every single way. I can't think of anything. And they definitely didn't downgrade anything, and they definitely didn't add any problems with this one at all. And they fixed mostly what were issues in the first one. There's still some texture pop in sometimes, yeah, and that kind of thing, but that's pretty much, that's an Unreal Engine thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good. I'm sure it's going to sell a crap load, I'm sure.
No doubt.
If you like Gears, you already have it. So, what else have I been playing? That's pretty much it, actually, for me. Yeah, okay, Fallout took up pretty much all my time.
God, except guys, for a little... killing me.
Ah, dude, like I said, I love Gears, and I had Friday off from work. So I was playing Gears in the morning for a bit, and after about two hours playing Gears, I was like, you know what, I'm going back to Fallout. I was going to play Fallout for another hour. I ended up playing it for 3 hours straight.
Jesus.
Yeah, then I'm like, okay, no, I guess I'll go back to Gears for a bit. But
well, another thing I wanted to mention about that, I mean, there's a whole huge expansive world. You can sink so much time in it, but the pacing's pretty good. Like, you can blow through a side mission in like an hour or two, and that's a good, you know, time length for like a gaming session.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, that's true.
It's worth it.
Good to know.
Yeah. I think so.
I'll have to check it out.
You should, because I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it a lot during our Game of the Year edition.
I'll have to put that on my list for a game to buy in December, because honestly, right now, November's done for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's mainly because I just picked up a few games, and next week Mirror's Edge is coming out. Oh, I pre-ordered that. And I have Valkyria Chronicles on the way. It should be here tomorrow.
That one's breaking my heart. Oh, I really, really want to play that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so what we can do is, like, when you're finished with Fallout and I'm finished with Valkyria, we're trade.
You can switch them out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I did play the Mirror's Edge demo. That is awesome. It is so good.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
And it's not even so fun. Yeah, it's so different from everything that I've played. So it was one of those things where I played the demo. I played it like four times, and then I was like, okay, well, I know I'm buying this game. So I just went and ordered it.
Oh, nice. Really? I think that's one thing I'm going to ask for Christmas or something like that, because too many games, but I'm definitely getting it. It's good.
That's where Gears and Resistance are for me, is they're going to be on the Christmas list. Mm-hmm. But now you guys are mentioning Fallout so much, and you're talking about it so high. Because Jeff, I know that you and I thought a lot alike when it came to Oblivion.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, for me, I got to like the first Oblivion gate and I got through that, and there was too much micromanaging about like, it was one of those things where, okay, well, in order to upgrade this skill, I have to do this a lot.
Yeah.
So I'll do this for a lot. And then you have to do something else for a lot. And it takes forever to just go up a level.
Yeah, there's no feeling of grinding at all in Fallout.
Okay.
Nothing. And there's some micromanagement, of course. Like, you have to repair your guns constantly and stuff like that, but it's really easy. Yeah. All you do is find a gun of the same kind, and then you just hit a button, and it combines them, and it repairs it for you.
Oh, that's... Yeah, and, okay.
Yeah. The thing is, it makes it worthwhile. You actually want to walk around and look and explore everything just for the fact that there's not a lot of ammo. And it's not like... At first, I thought it was going to be a bad thing. I'm like, oh, crap. But it just makes it more satisfying when you take out an enemy really quickly, or when you find more ammo, and just it's got like a constant drive to explore, but it's worthwhile. It's not like Oblivion where you just feel like, hey, I'm gonna go exploring, oh, I found a dungeon, now I'm gonna go down to this dungeon, fight these bears and rats for a bit, and it's not even gonna be worth it, because all I'm gonna find down here is a couple gold pieces and whatever. Because in Oblivion, in Fallout 3, you're always finding stuff you are going to use.
Did you find the sexy sleepwear?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? It's in a safe, and it's actually like leopard print pajamas. Okay. You put those on. And what's funny is, as soon as you leave the room, some dude attacks you, and you have a conversation with him, and he's like, give me the sexy pajamas.
He's serious.
Apparently searching for them as well. They like awesome. Add to your charisma or something like that.
Nice.
They don't protect very well, but you know, it's just cool little shit like that.
Yeah. There's one thing that's awesome. Actually that's kind of doesn't bug me, but there's a radiation meter, and everything you do or like everything you eat and drink, unless it's purified water, gives you some type of radiation. And the only way, as far as I know, the only way to get the radiation down is by using those rad packs or whatever they're called.
Well, yeah, there's a feat that you can take later on that will reduce the amount of radiation that you get.
Yeah.
You can go to the doctor and he can just give you a quick injection. That's like 100 fallout bucks or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. They use caps.
They use bottle caps.
And the rad X stuff, and you can also get your radiation, you know, resistance up, and there's suits that'll prevent it. But
yeah.
It's a trade-off because there's tons of ways for you to get health, like any water source, whether it be from a sink, even a toilet, you know, the river. You can drink that, and you'll get your hit points back. So that stuff is plentiful, but they scale it back by giving you radiation a little bit.
Exactly, and the radiation, I don't know exactly what it does to you if it. Just reduce your health like slowly. I don't know. The only time I got my radiation really high was when I did one of the quests where you're required to. And
did you get it up to the 600?
I went to the 600. Yeah,
you did. So I got the little. Did you just stand by down by the bomb or whatever?
Yeah, I just stood there and jumped around and whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, that's what I did. But other than that, that's like that. This is like a tiny, tiny minor gripe, just because it doesn't seem like it really does anything when your radiation does get high, and so. I just, whatever. Just something that seems like you keep an eye on every once in a while, but it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. It rarely goes up very high, and it's easy to bring down, so.
Exactly. It's good, Chris. You should buy it.
Ah, damn you. Well, I have not been playing that because I don't have
it,
but hopefully.
Oh, another thing about Fallout. I'm kidding.
Damn! Well, mine will be really quick because most of the stuff that I've been playing has been. Stuff that was on here last week, but I played a lot of Rock Band 2, like Jason said, and kind of talked about it already. Played some more Order of Ecclesia, which I've talked about plenty. I'm still loving this game, and my opinion has not changed. It's still the best Metroid I've played since Symphony of the Night. So
Metroid, huh? That's good.
Best Metroidvania that I've played. Okay. PS3, I also played Little Big Planet, and you know, Jeff talked about that a little bit, and you know, I've been playing a lot with Crystal too, and Crystal likes the game a lot. I really enjoy collecting the items that change your Sackboy, like Jason was saying. I think that's a really cool idea. And you know, some of the levels that are being made are just freaking awesome.
Love seeing that stuff. Yeah.
You know, we'll get more into that in the future. I don't want to spoil too much about Little Big Planet, since that's what's really spurring this conversation. Well, for those that don't know. I recently recorded with Dale Coolis from On Tap, and we did the PS2 RPG retrospective.
Retrospective, yeah.
And while we were doing that, it got me back into playing Odin Sphere, so I popped in for a while.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah, and oh, God, that game is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's just freaking gorgeous. So one of the big things that kind of pulled me away from it was the inventory management, because you're always filling up your inventory so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get into, like, doing stuff. Alchemy a lot. Like, whenever I get the items to make something, I'll just make it, just so my inventory will be one less item. And, you know, apparently you get more bags as you go through, so I'm trying to get to that point. But, so I just picked that up picked that up again today, so hopefully I'll keep playing that. It's been in my backlog for a while.
Neat.
Yeah, that's it. Dude, I did not know how many freaking RPGs there were on PS2 until we did this thing yesterday.
Really?
It's like, I have 20 RPGs for PS2.
And that's a lot by itself.
Yeah, and there's like 120 on the PS2. I mean, it's just nuts. And we were going through it, and there were like probably about half the games, maybe less than half, maybe like 40%. All three of us were like, never heard of it. Or, haven't played it, you know, that kind of stuff. But, but we had fun doing it, and, you know, we stopped and talked a lot about Odin Sphere and several other cool games. So, cool. Worth a listen.
When does that come out?
He said he's going to probably put it out next week, and I think it's episode 80.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, totally tune in, of course.
Very cool. But yeah, that's it. So I'm going to wrap up with that. Hopefully next week, I was hoping to be talking about Valkyria Chronicles, but, you know, it shipped out last week and hasn't gotten here yet. So hopefully Monday.
Do you order all your stuff from Amazon? Or
what's that?
You ordered it from Amazon or something?
I did. I ordered it from Amazon. They had a really good deal going on. It was like it was like $57, but then you also got like $10 off your next game purchase or something like that. So, and then with the free shipping and everything. So I just went ahead and did that.
Sounds like one of them pyramid schemes. Evil.
But, yeah, that's it. So, yeah, cool. That wraps up my week. Well, Jeff, let's pass it over to you and talk about some news.
News? All right, shoot through some news here. Little Big Planet. Apparently some of the user-created levels, which I'm sure we'll get into later, are being deleted or modded due to some copyright infringement off PSN. I think it was the Batman level or the Pac-Man level, and some of those have been taken down.
Oh, that's why I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't get a chance to play the Batman level, and I was looking for it everywhere. I'm like, where did it go?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize they had taken it down. Shit!
Yeah, and they're taking them down. They're not telling people why, or right now they're not even informing people why. But so Media Molecule comes out, so they're going to start to look at a better way to get this done or whatever. And that's kind of... I don't know. I can understand why companies wouldn't want to see certain stuff on there, but that's what's making Little Big Planet so great is the creativity people have been using, even using other, you know, other licenses or whatever. But
right,
like that Batman level was awesome. And Jason, I wish there was a chance to play it.
No, I never got a chance to play it. But you know, I wish there was a way for companies to kind of sort the stuff out, because it's not like it's Media Molecule that's making this stuff or even advertising, you know, these particular levels or anything. You know, this kind of reminds me of, are you guys familiar with City of Heroes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Superhero MMO. You know, there was talks between them and Marvel. Like, Marvel was going to sue them because you were able to do Wolverine
Make characters
claws
that
or something
like
that looked like that. So, and they eventually settled their stuff. And you're able to do whatever. But maybe, I don't know, is Media Molecule just doing this as a preemptive thing? Or has anybody come to them?
It hasn't really said anything at either way. It just says due to copyright infringements or whatever, so it could be stuff that maybe they have in contracts with whoever basically they don't want. I think they're just doing it right now to cover their tracks, to cover their own ass if something were to happen. So hopefully that something will be worked out where they're a little bit more lenient. So
hope so.
Yeah. And since we're on the topic, Guitar Hero 4, you know how you can create your own songs and stuff in that, that's now there's songs being taken off that as well.
Oh.
For you can because people have been making songs like there's a Zelda theme, Super Mario theme, a couple others on here, some other Electric Chocobo from Final Fantasy, Still Alive was actually made on there from Portal,
of course,
and all these
can't
have been
you download
taken
that
down.
Song though?
Sorry,
can't you just download that song though?
Yeah, I was gonna say that one you can download. That's weird. I guess that's
not for
Rock
Guitar
Band,
Hero though. Can you?
No, yeah, it's a rock band.
Oh, yeah, that's a rock band. I'm sorry.
Doom, The Wind Music. Anyway, all these have been taken down from the site. So, yeah, if you're going to create that content, guys, make sure you're not copying anything, because it's most likely to be taken down within... Actually, some of these are taken down within minutes, actually.
Wow. Or
like half an hour to an hour. But, yeah, they're going to find them. They're going to take them down.
Same deal. I don't think I don't know. Just let that
whatever.
Shit fly.
Well, yeah, let it fly, and that's what Activision's not going to do. And I'm not saying that by they're going to step in and say, hey, they should be able to make this content. They're actually thinking of putting a subscription fee on the user-created content, which
what?
Is ridiculous.
That guy's
oh,
a fucking douche.
On.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they.
Why
they
are people still supporting this fucking company?
I don't know. It's because they right now because they own Blizzard right now, and they're saying that because of World of Warcraft, they have a subscription fee, blah blah, and they're saying now because of this user created content in Guitar Heroes seems to be doing well, and a lot of people are making songs. It's apparently already 25,000 or 2,500. I can't remember the number on there. I'm not going to bother looking to back up, but songs that are available, and they're saying they're thinking of putting in a subscription fee for users to upload and download the stuff. So
not
basically a tool that you already have for free in the game, they're thinking of charging people to actually use it.
Not cool at all. Not cool at all.
That's
fucking Activision.
Yeah.
And that's why I won't support Guitar Hero. It's just they've made it into this. It's not even a game anymore. They've turned it into. It's more about trying to rape the consumer as any way they can out of their money, and mm-hmm. less about what the consumer wants.
Yeah, it's something that they gave to the consumers for free, saying, "Hey, this is going to be cool. You're going to make your own music," and they go, "Oh, wow, this is actually being pretty successful, and people are using it more than we probably thought. We should charge them for it." That's
gay.
Fuck off.
That's what it's kind of sounds like. Yeah.
Activision, you're a bunch of douchebags.
Yeah.
Well, not all.
You are. And someone who's also not too happy with Activision. I just put this in here. It's not really gaming news worthy, but I think it's just really funny because this guy, he's a prison inmate. let's see his name. Yeah. Jonathan Lee Richies. He's apparently trying to sue Blizzard because he's blaming World of Warcraft for causing him to live in a virtual universe. Basically got him into crime in real life because he said that he...
Well, when you lose your job for playing Warcraft too much, I mean, what do you do?
Exactly.
You're going to knock off some laundromats, you know?
Now, this isn't the funny part. The funny part is he actually made the same claims towards Grand Theft Auto 4 when he tried to sue Rockstar Games earlier this year, and he's also tried to sue George Bush, Michael Vick, National Public Radio, Barry Bonds, Plato, and the Eiffel Tower.
I've heard about this. Jason, they actually talked about this guy on 99X before 99X got defunct. Uh-huh. They were talking about this when he was doing the whole suing Michael Vick thing.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
The shit that they claim is just hilarious. I honestly think that he just does this just for shits and giggles to get people to.
Yeah, he's
pay
in prison, right?
Yeah, he's probably just bored.
He's just bored in prison. He sues everybody.
Like that.
Yeah.
Why not?
How do you sue the Eiffel Tower?
But... I'm suing you for being tall.
Intimidating.
You're intimidating all the French people. Oh.
Well, that's not hard.
No, but what is hard apparently is reading the text in Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts for 360. You have a standard def TV, Microsoft pulled a, or Rare, or either one, I guess both the same entity right now, pulled a boo-boo, like, just like Capcom did with Dead Rising, and didn't optimize the text for standard def, and this is actually apparently worse, where it's literally, it's unreadable on most standard def TVs. Rare originally came out and said they're probably not going to fix it because it's going to cost a lot of money.
Douche.
And take a lot of time and resources, but they've since come out, as of today actually, or yesterday, said they are actually going to fix it. So they will patch it, but if you have a standard definition TV out there or thinking about buying the game and don't have it yet, probably best to hold off until they release a patch so you can actually read what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. They have to. I mean, the game's marketed at kids, first and foremost.
Yeah.
I played it, all right, no interest whatsoever. It's a kid's game, you know?
Yeah.
How many kids are playing on the high def TVs
exactly
nowadays? So they got to fix it.
They do. Yeah, and well, one thing very disappointed in because you know I was gonna wait for my Banjo-Kazooie standard def thing to be fixed. I was gonna download Yaris from Xbox Live Arcade.
Hey,
that Yaris game?
That's one of those free games.
Yeah, one of those free games. It's I heard from people it is spectacularly awesome.
It is.
Totally
it's fantastic.
Rad.
It's like other racing game you've ever played.
Yeah, and have you guys downloaded it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course I have.
Shit, because I can't get it anymore.
I had to delete it to free up some space. I think it was something.
But you definitely want to go back and play it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, when I, you know,
I still have 200 points of achievements unlocked for that game.
Do you?
I was thinking March or something. I could do something.
I was getting excited to finally go and download it, and it's not there anymore because Microsoft pulled it.
What?
What?
Yeah. They what?
Why?
What?
This is a
Microsoft
mistake.
Douchebags.
they pulled the RS from the marketplace. You know how they're doing some cleanup with their Xbox Live and pulling off some games that aren't doing too well or whatnot. But
how could the RS not be doing well? It's free.
I don't know. And it's great. It's awesome. And
no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's terrible.
Well, you know, Toyota can't be happy about that.
No. But what do you think the rest of the people think?
That's easy.
I think they're pretty sure they're with us when we say
Who gives a shit?
Yaris. Bye, Yaris. Get the
thank you for not taking up any more space on our marketplace.
Shitty, shitty fucking game, even if it's free. Fuck
yeah,
you.
It was terrible. And that was the news.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks,
dude,
Jeff.
Fucking high five. One of those transitions, I forgot which one it was. It was the hard one. Moving into the Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
You're like all pro now and shit. It's
yeah,
only taken a year.
Absolutely. You're better than Garnet Lee.
Hours upon hours a day.
No wonder we were nominated for a podcast award. It's all you, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
Transitions, most important thing. I transition
everything
now. That
was like 40% of our grade right there was, you know, transitions and news stories. That's why we got picked.
Awesome. Shit. Well, that was your news. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes.
No problemo.
All right. Well, why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll talk about user-generated content, and we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week, if we can figure out one. It's kind of weird since we're doing a live show. I don't know. We'll think of something. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
All right. It's time to wake up.
Hey, everyone. My name's Dale Coolis, and I am host of the podcast On Tap, found on the VGEVO Podcast Network or on our new website at ontappodcast.com. And our podcast is a video game alternative podcast. You know, there's a ton of other awesome podcasts that cover the latest happenings of the industry well. So what we do is we focus on reviews, retro reviews, roundtable discussions, and we even make sure to talk about a lot of the dreaded pile of video game movies. If you want to give your iPod or other audio device of your choice something different to listen to, check us out. Look for us on the VGEVO Podcast Network or ontappodcast.com. Thanks.
Oh, I could pull a better podcast out of my head. Hey, wasn't that great, kids? You're listening to Interactive Distractions with Jason, Chris, and Geoff. Oh, I mean Jeff. Must be Canadian to spell it like that. So just remember, kids, just like Krusty always tells you, it's not just good, it's good enough.
And welcome back.
Woohoo.
How are you guys?
I'm bummed.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But I'm all right.
Yeah. We are now coming back after hearing the announcement for the podcast awards, and we did not win, which, you know, it's fine. We knew we were a long shot. You know, we've only been around for a year. We're still growing our listener base, that kind of thing. So the winning podcast was called for the gaming category was called The Instance, and it is a World of Warcraft podcast. So congratulations to them. Yeah, and my thanks to all of you guys who voted for us and for those who voted for us every day. You guys are troopers, and we very much appreciate all the support. It was awesome.
No shit. I mean, it's a bummer, and you know, I think it's really cool that we got nominated, but more importantly, hearing that you guys had supported us so much and voted so much for us means a shit ton more.
That's right. Exactly. Definitely. It was the fact that you guys supported us and got behind us and voted every day was fantastic, and we very much appreciate it. You know, this is our first year. We got nominated. It's fine. You know, we'll come back stronger next year.
Exactly. Next year, we'll take it all.
That's right. What the hell was I going to say? I was going to mention something, and I forgot. All right, whatever. It'll come to me later.
Jeff, you okay?
I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, you were crying.
I tried not to get my hopes up, but you know, it's.
Yeah, I knew.
I'm not buying the Grammar Girls books.
We were a long shot to begin with, you know, and we both knew that, you know, or all three of us knew that, and you know, especially with some of the podcasts that were on there, like One Up Yours and Giant Bombcast and CagCast, and you know, apparently The Instance is pretty popular. I didn't know that, but you know, there are X million WoW players out there, so you know, it's not
maybe
too surprising.
We should be a WoW podcast.
We'll be that WoW podcast that doesn't play WoW. There you go.
Right.
It'll be like the IGN PS3 podcast that doesn't actually have PS3s.
Yeah, whatever. It was fun. It was cool.
We had a good time, and thank you guys for voting, and thanks for all the support. especially from a big shout out to Terry and Ken, because they actually put the link to the voting post in their little ad section, and that was awesome of them. So they've been supporting us a lot too, and it's very much appreciated. So thank you, everyone.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Next year.
Go family, man.
We love you guys. We heart you good.
We heart you good.
All right, cool. Well, let's jump into our feature for today, which is user-generated content, a fad or the future.
Fat-ass future.
Fat-ass future. Damn it.
Yo, that future be fat.
Well, this topic was obviously sparked by the release of Little Big Planet. And, you know, there have been, of course, other things that have user-generated content, but it's only recently that we saw a lot of the stuff hitting consoles, like Little Big Planet and even Unreal Tournament for the PS3 had user-generated content as well. Jason, how do you want to start this one out? You want to just throw us an email or something?
I'm going to throw you an email. Yeah, this one has to do with Little Big Planet, incidentally.
Oh, well, how about that?
This is from Conman999-999-something. I'm not sure about this one. When I was in the LBP beta, oh, that's so cool. He was in the beta.
Anyway, demo.
Demo, beta, what? I played a few of the community levels and all of the story levels available. The story levels were fun, just as I would have thought. The community levels always seemed to be lacking something. I couldn't tell if it was the lack of tools, which I highly doubted, the lack of time, or the lack of skills at creating something fun. I wondered if in a few months, the levels would eventually be critiqued and many users would have a great understanding of the tools. I guess we'll find out how much the quality of levels will improve over time. But the thing I noticed is that many people seem to be enjoying the community levels, unlike I did in the beta. So maybe it's just me. If this is the case, I think many will follow in LBP's footsteps and look towards user-generated content. Also, this makes me think of Far Cry, which I recently bought. This is another example of user-created content. It gives you tools to create your own multiplayer maps and to play anyone else's online. That's cool. I haven't tried these out yet, but I'm looking forward to in the future. Thanks a lot for reading my email, Conman999.
Cool. Thank you, Conman.
Three nines. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I definitely think that this is something that's going to improve over time as far as like the user-generated levels on Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Especially because this is probably, you know, many of the people that grab Little Big Planet, it's probably their first time having this type of experience where they can create their own levels.
Yeah, like I know, robust of a tool, you know.
Yeah, yeah, cuz I know I've never done anything like that before. So
for consoles,
I mean,
anyway.
I'm going to actually, Crystal and I were thinking about sitting down and trying to make up a little world and see what we could come up with. So it's right now, I think a lot of people are just experimenting and, I mean, there are some really fantastic levels out there, but, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to start blowing up and there's going to be a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I think so too. Definitely. And this is definitely one of the big draws to the game is the community, you know, created stuff. And we've already seen a ton of cool shit out there. I mean, I haven't seen so many people get excited about like custom content like this in a long time. Like, you know, you'll see stuff for custom levels in like Unreal Tournament or something like that, like the Lego level, if you guys remember that. But people are talking about this stuff all the time, from, you know, the God of War level to the Batman level, or, you know, the
Shadow of the Colossus level.
Yeah, the Shadow of the Colossus.
The Gradius level that the guy over in Japan made.
Yeah.
That thing was freaking insane.
Did they take that down?
I sure hope not, man, because that thing was genius.
I went to try it yesterday and it wasn't letting me.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I never saw it. I never actually saw it in the game. I saw the video of it up on YouTube, and I mean, just freaking amazing what people come up with.
Yeah, totally outside the box and very, very cool.
Yeah.
I love this game.
Yeah. Well, here's a question I would like to pose to you guys, and I mean, is this... How do you feel about how do you guys feel about the fact that Sony is kind of spearheading this right now, where, you know, Microsoft has like a lid on it for the most part. You know, there's been a lot of like, didn't they try and do user generated levels for N Plus or something like that? I mean, there's been a couple games that wanted to.
Yeah, there's a bunch of games that wanted to, and Microsoft just wouldn't allow it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it it's kind of, it doesn't work with their infrastructure all that well.
Yeah.
Well, at least if they can't charge for it, then it's tough for them to do it. But Microsoft, on the other hand, has spearheaded the whole, you know, game creation.
Yeah,
that is true. That is very true.
XNA, which we haven't seen a ton of just yet.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of that soon. And, you know, there are some very talented people out there. And you know, we saw several of those user-created games that were just, you know, pretty fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in relation to, like, you know, level creation and N+, you know, that's a very controlled environment, and there's not too much you can do with it, you know, whereas if you're making a game from scratch, or you're, you know, even just making a level in Little Big Planet, you know, it's a huge sandbox.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of creativity that can come out of that.
And I think Microsoft is basically just worried about what people will make. That's why they don't have, like, an open concept to their online.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
with XNA having a subscription fee, as much as if you force us to make money, it's also going to weed out the people that would do that just to put out.
That is true. The penis levels. Right.
Exactly. The penis and the boobs level that are just bound to happen at some point in Little Big Planet.
Very true.
But
mm-hmm.
They're both doing it just different ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably a good point, or a good time to bring in, you know, quality control, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, and that might be something that people kind of look at and shy away from, you know, because there's a lot of crap out there too. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You'll see your gems every now and again, but for the most part, all right, a lot of it's crap.
Yeah, that's true.
So in that respect, maybe it's not a huge draw to everybody. Maybe it is just a fad. Maybe I'm just playing devil's advocate. Who knows?
I guess you'll have to find out some other time. Well,
yeah, like in
15
minutes.
Yeah. Something I thought was interesting was, you know, I was listening to... EGM Live? Not EGM Live. What's it called now? 1UP FM. Yeah, 1UP FM. And they actually, they do this backlog segment every episode where they talk about older games. And a couple weeks ago, they talked about Grip Shift, which I'm not sure how into Grip Shift you guys were.
Oh, I love that game.
Do you really?
I do, really.
Okay,
really,
cool. Because really I do, too. I have it on PSP, and I have the PSN version. But one of the things about the PSP version was that you could actually create your own levels and you could share them with people, via the wireless connection. Yeah. And one of the things that they talked about was, why that was missing from, you know, from each version. And the PSN version, it was because, you know, Sony basically came to them and said, hey, how would you like to do this? Okay, great. We need it in 3 months. So they didn't have enough time to put in the and like the infrastructure that Sony has now with like Little Big Planet and that kind of thing. It wasn't there. And then apparently they went to Microsoft and they were really dodgy about how they answered the question with Microsoft, but I'm pretty sure it was one of those things where Microsoft said that they didn't want to do that type of thing.
Yeah.
Cuz it was funny. Yeah, it was really, I mean, it really seemed like he was avoiding the question for the most part, but you know, I'm really hoping that, you know, this new, it's not really new because, I mean, they've been doing it for things similar for PC games for a long time, right? But this is very new for the console market, and I really hope that this is something that is going to turn into a more common thing that we see. I would love to see, like, a new Grip Shift that had user-generated levels that you could share with your friends and that kind of thing.
Definitely. Yeah, it good point with this being very new to consoles. You know, we've seen the stuff on the PC for years now, you know. You know, even so far as to, if you take a look at like Counter-Strike or something like that, that was essentially a mod of like Half-Life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they, you know, created a whole new game out of it. Granted, it's still, you know, gameplay's pretty similar, but, you know, it turned out into its own franchise. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
That's above and beyond. It's not just like a level editor.
Yeah,
and that's something that I wanted to
go ahead.
That's something I wanted to bring up too. Is tool set? You know, I'm more inclined to use something that has a really, really robust tool set that allows me to play around with, you know, just the rules of the game, the rules of the environment, make something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because we look at stuff in Little Big Planet, the Gradius level in particular, they recreated a fucking shooter.
Yeah.
In this platformer, yeah. Right? Totally cool. Whereas, you know, previously we have lots of level editors and, you know, that's fun for a little while, I think. But I don't know. It's tough to get real passionate about them.
Jeff, I have a question for you. I know that they had like the what they call it, the Forge mode on Halo. Was it?
Yeah.
Were the creations in there? I know that they just basically took the maps that they had and allowed you to place stuff in different spots. Right, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, basically you can put anything you wanted in the levels and put like your own spawn points, create your own different. It was pretty cool too, actually, because there's actually a lot of different type of games people made, like a version of like baseball, soccer, cool. Even. Hmm. It's like it was pretty crazy stuff you could actually do in the actual levels if you were creative enough. But the base levels, of course, you didn't get to make those. Those are already there.
Right. Now, were what you created, was it shareable with other people on live?
Sorry?
Well, could you share it with other people on live? Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
so,
you could just upload it, and you can upload it to your every single person at a certain amount of space they could have, and you just upload it to your space, and anyone who clicks on your name, whatever, can download anything you have in there.
Hmm. Okay, good.
Then there's also like Bungie's picks of the week kind of thing, and they take like the best things, put it on their site, so you can download from there.
Oh, see, that's cool. Yeah. So, it seems that Microsoft's not totally against it. They just, I don't know, maybe they just. I mean, Bungie is a. It's pretty much an exception to every rule for Microsoft because they're the ones that pretty much made the Xbox a success with Halo 1 and 2.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They're probably a special exception.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Cool. Jason, we have any more emails?
Let's see. I do. Holy crap. This one's from it's from Nogarik.
Yay!
I'm very excited. He says, "Hey guys, so the question of the week is asking if user-generated content is a fad or the future of gaming. I'd like to hope it isn't a fad, but I'd also like to think that it isn't the future of gaming." Well, way to sit on the fence, Noggy. I mean, I'm a sucker for creator character. So am I. So I've played pretty much anything that has to do with that to some extent, which I would like to say that more games need to let you share your characters, WWE games and Soul Calibur. But I'd like to hope that user-generated content doesn't spawn games that are just tool sets for creating stuff. Aww. If you've played Fighter Maker 2 or RPG Maker 3 for the PS2, then you probably know what I'm talking about. Some people do put out some good content, such as like mods like Counter-Strike or the Battlefield 1942 Modern Combat mod. But there is also a ton of crap that people put out there. Hell yeah. I'd like to think that the industry isn't lazy about putting out new stuff, and they are allowing user-generated content because they enjoy creativity of users, not because they just want to slap something out there to soak up some cash. I think if companies are serious about letting people create content, though, they need to update the tools that people can use pretty often. One of the reasons I liked using RPG Maker 2000 was that there were tons of different chipsets I could download. Some of which were user-created, too. But for RPG Maker 3 on the PS2, the items were so limited, it was ridiculous. I guess that's the flaw of the game being on the PS2, but there weren't that many choices for the character models in the first place besides palette swaps. So yeah, user-generated content is good if done right by both the users and the developers that put out the tools. With love, Nogarik.
Thank you, Nogarik.
Thanks, Nogarik.
I remember one of those levels that are one of the games that Nog created on RPG Maker 2000.
Oh, really?
I think it was a PS Otaku's level. Or was it a PS1? No, it was a PS Otaku's.
Well, I know that like over at Pocket Otaku, there were a couple of people that, you know, a couple of our members from that live over in Texas that were actually working on a PORPG. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever actually played like the little demo-ish thing that he released. But it was actually pretty cool. It reminded me a lot of like Final Fantasy 2 and 3. Yep. Well, I'm sorry, Final Fantasy 4 and Final Fantasy 6.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah,
but it's cool that he brings those up because I think something like that now would go over so much better than it did for like the PS2. You know, because that is something that would require a much more robust tool set and probably a hard drive that where you could, you know, upload your own. Textures and,
yeah, you need to be able to import kind of your own stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or stuff that
I would actually love to see something like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I would indeed. Well, I mean, you can do that stuff on the PC, of course. That's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a gray area. I love the PC.
If it wasn't so expensive to keep upgraded.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing with me and the user-created content is when the quality starts to actually rise and the crap starts getting weeded out. Like, you can see with Little Big Planet, and like, I'm more of the user-created content on consoles is more of a fad thing, because I think there's only a small percentage of people actually want to create something to have someone else enjoy. Besides, people just wanted to try to create something just to see if they can or what they can do. It doesn't mean they're actually good at it or what they
do.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean they're...
yeah, it's could be crap, even though you might think it's the best thing in the world. And let's be honest, after about a month, you're going to see these crappy levels just disappearing, because those people aren't going to be making levels anymore. Like, once the novelty of, oh, I can create anything I want to in this game, and once that kind of wears off, and people, the only people who are going to keep making stuff are the people that actually want to. And I think these are the same people that do the mods and stuff on PC. And as much as that happened, that's been happening on PCs for a long time, I think it's just the tools are more there for PC, and I think they're not really, besides like Little Big Planet, I don't think that's going to be something that's really going to catch on consoles. So I just think it's just the people that like to create this kind of stuff are going to stick primarily to PC, and on consoles there's going to be a few people that are going to be creating the really good stuff, but I don't think it's going to be for necessarily too long.
Yeah, that's what kind of worries me too, is the longevity of the whole thing. Because, yeah, people are going to crap out, they're going to get bored with it, you know, if they're not any good at it. And then, you know, with a smaller user base, you know, is the company going to keep supporting stuff like that? Is it going to be still be a viable marketing tool for companies to allow this sort of thing? So it's tough to say. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, see, that's the thing. It's one of those things where, you know, Jeff, you mentioned the tools on PC. Well, I don't see that necessarily as a limitation to console user-generated content, because look at the way they do Unreal Tournament 3. I mean, the tools that you make the stuff with is on our PC tools.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So I'm actually...
It's a huge hurdle,
that,
by the way.
That's an option.
I got to say. That's a huge hurdle, because, yeah, you've got to create your levels on the PC. And I mean, you've got to have a PC that runs it, and it's a little tight on, you know, restrictions.
Yeah. And you have to have both versions of the game if you want to make your PS3 levels, right?
So. Yeah, it's a little
ridiculous. Well, yeah, for this particular game, but that may not always be true. That's kind of what, you know, it's something that shows that this could happen in the future, and we could see it more often.
Yeah, I'm definitely in love with the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll definitely see it, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to be like the next rock band. Like, it's not going to be like a whole bunch of other people trying to do the recreate Little Big Planet. Like, I don't think it's going to see that type of effect at all.
Well,
okay.
Fair enough. LPP is getting a lot of coverage for that. I mean, that's the main draw of the game.
It is now.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, I'm predicting in a couple months the novelty is going to be worn off, and there won't be. There's still going to be great levels being made for it for sure, but I think the people aren't going to be like all over it like they are now.
Right.
Yeah. I think it really depends on how they handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one of the things that they said that they were going to try and get done with Little Big Planet is get, you know, major publishers and major developers to actually make levels for their games. You know, like we saw a lot of talk about Killzone stuff, you know, and we haven't seen any of that yet, obviously. But, you know, it's if they can get publishers and developers to do that kind of thing, I think that, you know, you're going to see much different ways of looking at the game and how you can create stuff, and it could keep people interested for a lot longer.
Yeah, no, it could.
Yeah,
they got to keep people updated too.
True,
and they got to do nothing to do with user created content, but like what EA and Criterion's doing with Burnout, releasing something new to the game every couple months to keep people going. Because I don't think the user created content is going to be enough on Little Big Planet after a few months.
Yeah, where was that in the news, Jeff?
Oh, shit, yeah, no, I totally forgot that.
He was saving it for the feature.
Sorry.
He's hoarding this stuff to make him sound smart.
One of the things that I think is really cool about the way they do Little Big Planet is that, when you make something, when you make an object, you get to allow other users to grab that object and use it in their level creation. And I think that's something else that will help. Will help the longevity of the user creation, because they're going to get you're always going to see different things like, wow, I never would have thought about doing that. And they'll grab that and they'll use it and they'll, you know, model their own objects after it. So I think that's something else that's going to help.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen any penis level yet in Little Big Planet.
No, I've seen videos. I've seen videos. Yeah,
they're out there. I haven't yet.
I don't know if they last long, but whatever.
No, I'm pretty sure they get moderated pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm wondering if, like, when you publish a level, if it goes through like an initial moderation to see if there's anything that's, you know, really offensive bad. before it actually gets out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are either of you guys working on a level?
Currently, I am not. But
I've always got plans, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've actually talked to a few people about getting together and working on a couple of different levels. But, you know, it's all about executing that at this point. So, you know, you can talk is cheap, but where's the action, right? So
exactly.
We'll see what happens.
Another game, TimeSplit, is where it had the level editor type thing. I think that's the only game I actually tried to make something. And I remember trying to recreate a level from another first-person shooter. It might have been from GoldenEye, I can't remember. But that was the first time I actually downloaded levels and stuff for an actual online game. Because you can download user-created levels that were pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for the most part, I'm not really into it. And actual creating stuff. I'm just not creative.
Right. Some of the biggest user-generated content that I really got into was from a game called Neverwinter Nights on the PC.
Because
you could create your own mods and just had complete and total control over everything. Import your own models, change the dialogue. Completely open. So that's why it was cool. So people would like recreate, you know, their D&D campaigns. And there was one team that was working very hard to recreate like the Dragonlance realm, which I was really excited about.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That would have been awesome. But
yeah.
I don't think it ever came to fruition. I think they'd stop the project. Anyway, that's a side note. But
well, I think personally that kind of stuff is never going to go away from the PC side of things.
Right.
No. You know, I think there's always going to be that kind of modding that you're going to be able to do, and people are always going to be very creative with that, especially when you see how often they do it with Unreal. I mean, Unreal 3 has God knows how much content out there because of the users.
That feature, level editor, is almost de facto in today's shooters, for real.
Yeah.
You know, I've played some wacky-ass Team Fortress 2 stuff, for real.
Oh, yeah?
Messed up
stuff. And Far Cry 2 has a level editor in it, too, I believe.
Yep.
Exactly. Oh, does it?
Consoles, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that might lend to whether or not, you know, this is a fad or the future. It's obviously not going anywhere on the PC side of things. But
right.
I mean, is it really viable over here?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Like, it's... Well, as long as they don't start doing like the Activision thing, like charging for anything like that, that would be ridiculous.
Oh, please, no.
That always has to be free for one. Another thing that's good for it, and I'm glad, like we've already seen it with XNA, with Dishwasher, with that guy who made the dishwashers. It got picked up by Microsoft, and they're publishing it now, and it's coming out as an actual Xbox Live Arcade game on the XNA. So, and I'm sure Little Big Planet's going to get some people noticed too with level design. Because if you're making like a platformer or something, and you know you want someone who has a good level design, that you find like a wicked level on Little Big Planet, I can totally see them doing some headhunting on there.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Well, yeah, they've mentioned that too. That Media Molecule is looking for kick-ass level designers.
Really?
Yeah. They'll bring them on board. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've gone through like some of the story in story mode in Little Big Planet, and you know, going through that story mode, it gets your mind thinking about different things that you could do. I mean, I've seen some really cool little machines that they've made, you know, on this thing. Like, I mean, and I saw one person attempted, you know, in one of the user generated levels, he attempted to make a tank. I didn't see it really work very well, but it makes your mind work, and it's like, well, you can do that. That's kind of cool. So, you know, I'm hoping it's something that we see more often in games. But how often is the real question?
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, it'll be too much. You'd absolutely never know. I mean, I thought that Guitar Hero was going to be a fad for real. You know, this chintzy Fisher-Price guitar, you know, it was fun for a while, whatever. You know, it looked like a retard playing it, but kind of exploded. I mean, it's kind of a huge industry right now.
Next thing you know, you're streaming yourself playing it on the internets.
That's the interwebs. For losers. That is for losers right there. I'd never be caught dead doing that.
Oh, man. Do we have any more emails? Is that the last one?
No, that was it, man.
That was
wow, small pile of emails.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we covered a lot in a short amount of time. That's pretty good. Yeah. It's definitely not going anywhere on the PC side of things,
right.
I think.
No, that's there to stay.
Yep. Jason, I'm curious to know, like, you know, you mentioned how one game came from a mod of another.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if you've seen anything like that in while playing Unreal Tournament.
Like
something worthy of that, I should say.
Well, you have to factor in, you know, the Unreal Engine, which is what, you know, Unreal Tournament's based off of, right? So we've seen all kinds of games made from that engine. So it's a little different. So, I mean, the super powered rocket booster pack fueled cars.
Unreal Engine. The Unreal Engine too.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the people can do a ton of shit with that. Whereas with Half-Life, I mean, they used the Source Engine as well. So, I haven't seen a ton with Unreal Tournament though. Most mods that I see are from Half-Life 2. With a Source Engine and something called Gary's Mod, which is a really, really cool like level editor tool. You can just completely manipulate the world with that. It's neat.
And didn't, because you said, like, well, Counter-Strike was made as a mod from Half-Life.
Right.
But with Unreal, though, you can't make actual game types of that game with the editor, right?
Correct. So just, as far as I know, because you'd have to... You'd have to lease the engine and everything. And it's just not a real viable source. So you see a ton of levels for Unreal Tournament, for sure. But
And lots of different skins and stuff like that.
Yeah, because those are easy to bring in and import. So.
I think the big thing with consoles is, I think the base console user still is obviously the casual users. And if something's not simple to use, they're just not going to take advantage of it. And
that is very true.
That's just what I think. That's why it's not going to catch on, at least not for a long time.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, that's kind of the line between, you know, console gamer and, you know, PC gamer. You know, you got your hardcore, and a lot of console gamers are labeled as casual, and they probably won't get into level creation as much as a PC gamer would.
Yeah.
Partially because they don't have the tools to do it. Little Big Planet, you know, allows for you to do some really creative stuff, but... At its very heart, it's pretty rudimentary. You know, you've got your two planes that you're working with, and yes, you can create custom shapes and stuff. But if you compare that to, you know, like a level editor or like Gary's Mod or something like that, it's actually pretty simple.
Yeah.
Compared to other stuff.
It is, but...
You're not working in a 3D space, really.
That's true. What about the little... We didn't even talk about Banjo-Kazooie at all, either. That's kind of... Basically built the entire game around user-created content, but in terms of building vehicles and stuff like that. And that's another reason why I'm not really interested in that game, is because I won't have the patience to do it, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I've seen...
But are those shareable?
I have no idea if they're shareable or not.
I don't know.
Okay.
No clue. Interesting. But I've seen some pretty cool stuff already online with stuff that people, like, things that have been made and stuff like that. But...
Yeah, I think for the most part, up until this point, it's pretty much been a fad.
Yeah,
I think, you know. I mean, create a character stuff is really cool. Nogarik mentioned that. I mean, I can spend hours in a create a character, especially in like wrestling games or something like that.
Yeah,
like Soul Calibur.
Yeah. What was it? Fire Pro did that a lot. The create a character stuff, and you know, I remember when I was rooming with our buddy John, and he would just go to town on just creating the wrestlers left and he would focus on his main wrestler, but he was so excited about it all the time. So
see, they got to make
people get really into that stuff.
They got to make it very easy for other people to either replicate it or, you know, just download the skin or whatever, download the settings.
Yeah,
that would be easier.
Good stuff. Yeah, I definitely think it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think it will be much more prominent on the PC. You know, I think Little Big Planet is it could be a doorway to more user generated content on the consoles. I think people could see, you know, if it is very successful, which at this point it's looking like it very well could be. People could see, developers could see how well it's doing. And they could, you know, follow suit a little bit. I think it may not be the future, but I think we'll see it again.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we'll wait. Like, Little Big Planet's definitely, I think people are watching it with a very close eye, and I think other developers might have similar ideas, but they're going to wait and see how it goes through, see how much it sells, see how long the community keeps pumping in new levels and stuff like that. If it's not worth it, if it's not going to be like, you know, have a long life and people aren't really buying into it, then they're not going to bother. Kind of like MMOs on consoles.
I completely wholeheartedly agree with both of you, but I think my eye's more on XNA stuff. The only thing that I really got to stress is that you need a lot of freedom. You need a really good tool set in order to make it successful.
Yeah.
Because if you're limited, then it is just going to be a fad.
And it needs to be accessible. You know, it's one of those things where, like, Little Big Planet is free. So it's very, very accessible in that respect. You know, Jeff talked about Activision charging for the music that users create. That would be a huge mistake, because I think that would make it so that, you know, people aren't going to want to pay as much for things that may be crap. You know, you might get one gem with a million pieces of crap out there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really think that's, you know, for the casual type of game that Guitar Hero is, where it is both a hardcore and a casual setting, you know, charging isn't the way to go on something like that.
Right.
But then
it's no longer community based at that point. It's lining the pockets of whoever's charging.
Being douchebags.
Yeah. But on the other hand, with XNA, it still needs to be accessible, but not necessarily free, because, you know, you're getting a lot of tools with it. You're getting the licensing of and that kind of thing. But, you know, XNA is still, for what it is, it's still pretty cheap. You know, it's what, $100 a year or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. For the membership.
For someone that's in, like, my position, or if I wanted to try and make a game, that's accessible for me, because I would happily drop $100 to see what I could do, you know?
That's hobby price, man. I mean, I drop that shit on equipment all the time. So
yeah, no kidding.
Would get
that's just a little bit under two video games, right? So
yeah,
that's true. That is true.
Let's wrap up.
Let's do it.
Cool. Well, I kind of said mine.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, same here.
Cool.
Pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, so pretty much I think we all agree it's not really going anywhere, but it's going to be much more prominent on the PCs, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to take off on consoles at all.
I don't think so.
But will we see it again?
Yeah, I think so.
People are going to try and replicate the success of Little Big Planet, without a doubt. Yeah. Jeff nailed it when he said that all eyes are on this thing. You know, companies are definitely taking
I definitely
notice.
Agree with that. Whether or not we see really more of this stuff on the consoles is solely based on this game.
Yeah,
for sure.
So
agreed.
Cool. All right. Good stuff. All right, so why don't we just jump into new releases?
Yes.
Right. Let's do it.
Tell me about more games that I can't afford that I still want to play.
Or maybe a bunch that you don't.
Yeah.
This is for the Wii, so we're going to start with the Wii, as we always do, so
I
we can get a good laugh. Mortimer Beckett and the Secret of Spooky Manor.
Spooky.
Mortimer. Okay. Tales of Symphonia, Dawn, New World.
Cool.
I guess this is the... Sure. Is this a continuation or is this the remake?
No, I don't know. I'm not the RPG guy.
You ask me like
guy.
I know. Yeah. You're supposed to know this stuff, Chris.
You guys, you're the RPG guy, Chris.
I'll have to look that up before we quit.
Oh, fucking guy.
Big League Sports. Bratz Kids Slumber Party.
Yes!
Star Wars Clone Wars Lightsaber Duel. Monkey Mischief Party Time. That reminds me of Jason. It reminds me of
Friday Night.
It reminds me of on PO when our Serena actually made some filters on the board, so that if someone like typed in Yowie, it would show up Bubbly Monkey Mischief.
Yep. Do you guys know what Yowie? Jeff, do you know what Yowie is?
No.
It is.
Oh, you're yes, I do now. Yeah.
Oh, you do now.
I think you told me about Yowie that at the AWOL, right?
Yeah.
Or what it means. Yeah.
Hey, can we back up a second? Like, this is all on the Wii, right? So we've got a Star Wars lightsaber game on the Wii.
Yes.
Isn't this what everybody's been friggin' clamoring for? And yet, now that it's here, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's up with that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe it's because they put the Clone Wars in there, and, you know, the Clone Wars movie and the series is not the greatest, so I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows? Oh, I said that last week, and it didn't come out.
The web.
North American Hunting Extravaganza!
Yeah, I was looking for that.
Nice.
Yeah. Guinness World Records, the video game.
What?
Not sure what exactly they would do with that.
What?
Facebreaker KO Party.
Like, eat hot dogs and, like, you know, see how many shirts you can wear. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that.
Luxor 3. Hasbro Family Game Night. And Candace Kane's Candy Factory.
Candy right. Factory?
Yeah.
What's fun having a Candy Factory game when you can't eat the candy?
I don't get it.
DS is getting Call of Duty, World at War. Avatar, Into the Inferno. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Ranger. Populous. National Geographic Panda.
Fuck you, Nintendo.
Amazing Adventures, Forgotten Ruins.
I'm just getting pissed with each week here. I'm just getting pissed because they're all fucking kid games. You know, you've abandoned me. Fuck you, Nintendo. Yeah. I'm really pissed.
What's Nintendo's big release for this holiday?
They don't have
Wii Music.
Wii Music was their big release for the holiday.
Wii Music, and it like, but didn't Wii Music that like bombed in Japan?
Oh, it did bomb in Japan. Bombed pretty hard too. It only sold like 100,000 copies.
I was listening to the One Up Yours on Friday, and John Davison was saying his whole family hated the game. And that's like every demographic that they're trying to go for. It's like his wife thought it was boring, and he basically thought he was calling her an idiot by saying she'd probably like this game. And then he's got like a 3-year-old and I think a 5-year-old or something like that, and they both got bored within like 10 minutes.
God, what the hell is going on over there?
No idea.
It keeps getting worse.
There's no creativity left. It's like everything they bring out is for the casual, and there's nothing creative for the hardcore. Mm. Their answer for the hardcore wanting games we'll make more Mario and we'll make more Zelda. No, I want you to make some original shit that's
just
for the hardcore.
First party shit. You look at third party stuff, and it's all just like pandering to parents that are trying to shut their kids up.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what Nintendo has become. My goddaughter, who is 6, wants a DS for Christmas, and she wants, like, the Bratz game. I'm like, fuck.
Never makes her happy.
At least the DS, you know. Though. I mean, it's the Wii. Like, my older sister emailed me the other day saying that she bought her son's, well, I guess stepson's. Does that even make sense, stepson's? I don't know. Anyway, they bought them a Wii for Christmas, and... these guys, like, one of them's like 20, and I think the other one's like 18. I think those are their ages, or might be like 19 and 17. I don't know. But they already have like a 360 and stuff. And she's like, "Oh, what's a great game I should get them?" And I'm like, "Oh man, like,
I don't know."
I told her Boom Blocks because you can't go wrong with Boom Blocks. But
yeah,
maybe No More Heroes.
Yeah, No More Heroes is pretty good too. Yeah. I mean, of course, there's like Metroid and Zelda and stuff, but other than that, she's like, "What's the big game coming out this year for?" I'm like,
"I don't even know."
I'm like, "Gears
Wii
of War,
Wii Music,
too. Yeah, exactly. Wii Fit, they'll love
I'm
that.
I'm sure they'll like that.
Yeah, it was tough though.
All right, let's finish up Nintendo so we can get to the real consoles. let's see, Star Wars Clone Wars Jedi Alliance, Guinness World Records, the video game. Mm-hmm. No idea. Sally's Salon. Really?
Apparently.
Come on.
Like, is that like Sally, Jesse, Raphael? Because
I have no fucking idea. I stopped looking a lot of these up because it's just like, whatever. Tecmo Bowl Kickoff.
Wow, Tecmo Bowl.
Future U, the prep game for SAT. So they have a DS SAT prep game.
That's going to sell a lot, probably.
I would be surprised if it did. But
like it's another brain age type thing or something.
Yeah, most likely.
I don't know. It could be. Hello Kitty Daily. Mm-hmm. Guitar Hero on Tour Decades. Huh. And Shaun White Snowboarding.
Cool.
So 360. Call of Duty World at War. Mm-hmm. Command & Conquer Red Alert 3. Mm-hmm. Pro Evolution Soccer 2009. Mm-hmm. Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Mm-hmm. Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
Meh.
Jason?
Total Gamefly. I hear good things every now and again about it, like the combat's okay, but I have always hated Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah, you
were. Like, I played the first two just because they were, I don't know, it was novel, but...
Yeah.
Just do not get into them. And I'm pissed that everything's all PG-13 and... Ugh.
Except for Europe. I forgot to put that in news, too. The European editions are not going to be censored, so... Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, really?
If you want it for PS3 and you want all the real fatalities, you should import it.
I guess so.
360 is also getting Shaun White snowboarding. Mm-hmm. For PS3, Call of Duty, World at War, Mirror's Edge, Pro Evolution Soccer 2009, Mortal Kombat vs. DC, and Shaun White snowboarding.
I'm getting that at Target.
PS2. What's that?
I'm getting that at Target.
Yeah.
So you get your extra levels.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. PS2 is getting Call of Duty World at War Final Fronts.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's a modified version of the game, so PS2 can handle it. Eternal Poison, which I believe is an Atlas RPG that is coming out.
Looks interesting.
Pro Evolution Soccer 2009, Hasbro Family Game Night, and Shaun White Snowboarding. And the PSP is getting Pro Evolution 2009 and Shaun White Snowboarding. So that is the new release list. Pick of the week.
Mirror's
Pick
Edge.
Of the week. Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge, no doubt.
So 3-for-3.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that the first time we've all agreed? Oh, no, wait.
No,
Little Big
so.
Planet.
Little Big Planet we all agreed on, I think.
No, no, I think I went with something else just to be different, though.
Did you?
I think so.
Just to be a douchebag.
Yeah.
Just to be a douchebag.
Cool. All right, well, Jason.
Yeah.
I will pass it off to you. Do we have any more emails today?
Yeah, I got one more. You guys might remember this guy from about 20 minutes ago. His name's Nalgrick. He wrote another email. And I'm going to read it.
We'd like him.
Hey guys, just noticed you guys are harping on the arcade model of the 360 lately. Hell yeah, we are. And I don't blame you, because it's definitely a bad idea for people buying their first 360. But being that I work at a game retail store, I'd just like to say that the number one reason people buy the arcades, in my store at least, is because they're tired of getting their same system back from Microsoft when it has problems. So yeah, mostly because they already have a hard drive. They're just wanting one of the systems with the updated hardware that is less likely to crap out on them. Finn would love Nalgrick. You know, I gotta say that the arcade system now, there's a new holiday bundle, right? And this is, I think, worth buying, because they include like 6 extra games on here. First, you get the full retail of the Sega Superstar Tennis. Not a bad game, right?
Uh-huh.
But you also get a bunch of arcade games on a disc, of course, because, you know, there's no friggin' hard drive. Anyway, you get the Feeding Frenzy, you get Luxor 2, Boom Boom Rocket, which is pretty fun, Pac-Man Championship Edition, which is arguably one of the best games on there, and the big one, the big bomb, motherfucking Uno. You get Uno.
Oh, Uno.
Uno. So that, I mean, that in of itself is not a bad deal. And
yeah, and when you consider that... that what Microsoft is doing with like the arcade systems.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that works for new purchases of arcade systems, but
I heard it does. At least I heard the GameStop employees.
Yeah, they do, because it's basically because they want everyone to be using the new Microsoft experience, right?
Right.
So yeah. They want more people online. So.
Well, what size is the memory card that you get in the arcade now? Is it 512?
No, I think it's 250. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably.
So that's what they get, yeah.
Because you'd have to fill that up pretty quickly.
They might.
Of course, it comes with the downloadable games already on there, probably. So that takes up some of it.
No, it comes downloadable games are on a disc.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, cool.
And I know that, I guess maybe, if they're giving away the 512 memory, maybe the new arcades come with 512 then. Memory
Could.
Card. Because yeah. Then I don't understand why they would give it away for free and then not just pack it in with the damn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, agreed.
So... So yeah, we toss around a lot of arcade hate, but whatever. This is a good deal. We've tossed around a lot of arcade hate. This is a good deal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's really most places aren't even going to push the arcade on people. I overheard two people talking at Future Shop, two of the workers there when I was going in there to pick out what I wanted for anniversary when I grabbed Resistance. Mm-hmm. I heard them talking, saying they're saying something about the arcade Xbox arcade version. He's saying to the guy that he hasn't sold one in a while because he always convinces the people not to buy one. They always get the pro. I mean, like, of course that's better for them too, because whatever, but if people, that's what I think people should be doing, retailers anyway, just as long as they understand the difference between the two before walking out of there and they still buy the arcade, then it is a good, it's a decent deal. If that's what people want, it's okay.
Right.
But yeah.
I just would never buy one.
Yeah.
See, my thing about what he said is that he mentions that people come in and buy the arcade system because they're tired of getting their system back.
Mm-hmm.
That annoys the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are going out and they're spending, you know, full price or whatever on a system because theirs is broken and because the system was designed to break. Well, not designed to break, but it was designed badly, so it breaks.
Yeah, it speaks volumes about how much of a travesty and just total fuck up the whole hardware side of things was.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, the when it comes to the retail arena, you place your vote by spending your money. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When people go out and they buy another system because theirs is defective and they're tired of shipping theirs off and waiting and whatever, all you're saying is, hey, it's all right for you to give me a piece of shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm very passionate about this because it really ticks me off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're basically telling Microsoft, oh, you don't have to fix this. It's fine.
I have the money. Let's buy another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not fine. It is definitely not fine. You know, this is like the worst hardware we've seen in the video game industry, and that includes the craptacular PS2 that when it was initially released.
Well, clarify. I mean, the hardware itself, I mean, functionality is great. It's just it's
the
faulty
way it's put together.
It's faulty. The manufacturing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, it's a good system. But, anyway.
Oh, right. I'm not dissing the system or its games. I'm dissing the quality of the hardware.
Yeah. All right, good.
And which is what we've done in the past, and, you know, we've hit that a million times. But it just bothers me that people are willing to go out there and just spend more money on a new one and basically tell Microsoft, hey, it's okay. No, we do.
Well, maybe they're sitting on an extra hard drive because they opened up their 360 and tried to fix the Red Ring and fucked up. Not naming any names.
Or hacked it so they could pirate games.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that
indeed.
Too.
Indeed. Wow, that's a good idea, Chris. I'm going to go pirate some games. Cheaper.
And get your ass booted off of Live.
Nah, man, I'll keep it all offline. It's cool. This is my second. This is my pirate Xbox. I got this. Good idea, man. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Totally original.
All right, cool. So next is question of the week.
Oh, shit. I don't know, dude.
Do we have one?
No,
not really, because we're doing a live show. So, you know.
Questions. We're going to be answering questions throughout the whole entire episode. So, I mean.
Why don't we do, like, questions of the week and just leave it open format? You guys have a question? And you want to come on the show? You can ask us over Skype live. How about that?
Or in the chat box, either one.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? This is a good idea. Questions of the week. If you have a question that you would like to ask, send it to us via email. And we'll pull you on if we like the question, we'll pull you on the show so you can ask the question to us and we'll answer it on the show.
Awesome idea. So send along your Skype name and make sure that you're available. So get a headset
and
stuff.
Make sure you're available. So to review, question of the week, there isn't one. Send your questions to us and along with your Skype name. And if you are online while we are doing the show, which is Friday, November 14th, 9 o'clock.
Eastern.
We will pull you on and allow you to ask your question, and we will answer it for you on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give you a heads up in the shout box, first and foremost. But.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And we will be doing pretty much the same structure, just, I guess, instead of during the feature time, we'll probably just end up just shooting the shit about randomness and, hey, this has been the year 2008 of, like, the year of games, and all the good games are going to be out by then, so.
And I'm really interested to see, you know, I would love to hear people come on and like tell us what they like about the show, tell us what they would like to see with the show, if they have any suggestions, that kind of thing. I'd like to see that too.
Yeah. You want to take pot shots at us? Go right ahead.
Yeah,
we're okay with pot shots.
Used to it.
I think all of us are used to it by now. cool. All right. Well, you can send your emails to email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail, which, will we have the ability to play the voicemail?
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we can do that too. And you can do that by sending us either sending a file to into the email. Sorry, I'm tripping over myself right now. This is awesome. Or you can send us, you can call our voicemail line, which is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can also leave us a voicemail on Skype. Interactive Distractions, all one word.
I'm getting ready. Oh, all lowercase. That was my stretchiest one.
You guys are going to get to see the proclamation next week.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
I
You're gonna
practice.
See it. That's right, Jason.
Oh,
be ready.
Lord,
also, Google Talk, interactive distractions at gmail.com. Warhawk Wednesdays, it seems to have picked back up. From what I didn't get to play, but people were talking about it like crazy this past week. So, yeah, check that out.
Hey, I also want to pimp the Friday fight nights again because I've got like time to play games and shit now. So I'm going to start doing some fighters again with Mike O'Hara, I think, on Friday. Cool. If he's still down with it, we'll see. I got Tekken, by the way.
I'm ready. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot to give you guys that thing for
That's
a little bit past then.
Too late. It's cool.
Cool. Hey, do us a favor, guys, and tell a few friends about us. Let them know what you think of the show and, you know, get them to try an episode out, see if they like us.
That's right. And if they do,
if you do like us,
we're taking the award next year.
That's right. If you do like us, leave us an iTunes review. We'd very much appreciate it. And don't forget to check out our Facebook group. I think we're almost to 100 members. We're getting there.
Close.
Oh, I posted a link to the video on the Facebook group, I think.
Oh, sweet.
There you are.
Good deal.
There you are video?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope, not much. Just got to hit the Fallout and the gears.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to throw one more thing out there. I did look up Tales of Symphonia Dawn New World. And it seems to be a sequel to Tales of Symphonia on the GameCube. So, yeah, it's a brand new entry to the series on the Wii.
Cool.
All
right. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show, and thank you for getting us nominated for a podcast award. That was awesome, and thank you for supporting us. You're the best.
Damn right.
So, until next week on our 1 year live episode on Friday. Thank you very much. Play a lot of games, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you guys later.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
I'll be Chris today.
Oh, all right.
Cool. Good night, guys.
Ready to rock.